Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Super Dan Anderson, and you are listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneer Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Tell them Super Dan sent you.
Aloha, everybody, and much mahalo. You have an incredible show tonight, an old-time show with an old-time friend. But before I bring him on, I want to introduce my producer and the person that's put us on the air for the past 7 years, the one that makes it all work for us, Hansi Jesse Bowen. Hansi, are you there?
Hey, sir. How are you doing?
How are you, Hansi Bowen? Good to hear your voice. Are you,
hey, better and better, sir. Better and better.
So much going on. Well, will you share with us what you have going on? I know you got podcasts. You got John Chung. You've interviewed a lot of cool people here. But you've also got my book, the History General book. But tell us what's going on, Hansi Bowen, with you.
Well, let's talk about the book first. I'm really excited about it, really super excited because, you know, I get a chance to really write about all the – or read about and edit all the great biographies of these martial artists that, you know, they have contributed so much to the martial arts and the sport karate in particular, and having this opportunity to have the first sport karate biography book. So, you know, this is a historical part about what we're doing. And as we're bringing, you know, people in, you know, we launched our publishing company a year ago. And so we're publishing the third book for the Action Martial Arts Hall of Fame. And we also, we have our own book, which is the 50 years in the martial arts, recognizing martial arts for 50 years or more. And we just, you know, about a week ago, you know, got a special opportunity that we're going to be honoring Ernie Reyes in Vegas this year. So we're super excited about that. He's done a lot in the martial arts. He's got these fantastic schools on the West Coast. And, you know, phenomenal person, done a lot. So we just like with Mr. Norris, we're going to be honoring him. July the 31st in Vegas, we're going to be with the Action on Film Festival. And so it's going to be great, red carpet. We've got a lot of phenomenal things that's going to be happening. So a new website that's coming up, you know, you can go to who'swhointhemartialarts.com and check out that new website. But, you know, I'm really excited about the podcast because, you know, we're talking about the power to live your vision. And, you know, Bam Johnson, we're releasing a book for him. And, you know, it was good today to interview him. You know, I'm coming across so many martial artists, you know, as we have done so much in the past, but they are actually, you know, spirituality. God has touched their lives, and they've got a new message, a new sound, and they're really doing a great job of sounding that word that we can make a difference. The world needs change. And there are a lot of martial artists that are making a change and helping to do that. And I think that's a really key, you know, part because, you know, what we say, what we do, it influences that. And again, you know, the martial arts is really going through something over the past few months of, you know, I have no idea what it's going through with attitudes and stuff, but it's really been good to be around some really great people in doing that. So, sir, we've been doing a lot, so, but, no, we're excited about your book, the show, your book, all those great things, new magazine coming out, and you're going to be one of the first people that we feature in the magazine. So, you know, we're excited about that, too.
Well, thank you so much. Now, tell me about your, you know, you did something a few months ago that was really, really interesting. Mindset, and tell us about what you do, Hansi Bowen. You're more than just a karate instructor. You're an instructor, a motivational speaker. Talk a little bit about that, sir, please.
Okay, sir.
Great. Well, you know, when I first got involved in the martial arts, I, like everybody else, had no confidence, couldn't read, couldn't write, really, out of high school and all of those things. I had a great teacher. And, you know, I had been competing for a whole year, and I had never won anything. He started teaching me about it was called Silver Method Mind Control back in the day, which is a meditation visualization program. And I started using that program and seeing myself winning. And all of a sudden, from losing for a whole year, I couldn't stop winning. I won every competition that I went into. You know, I was in the fastest rising people, but it was all about my mindset. So I studied that program, and then I became, actually took the course, became a graduate of the course. I went on to become an instructor, so I'm certified in the Silver Method or Silver Life System. I'm a certified sports hypnosis coach. I'm doing my sports psychology coach certification now. And so that's what I try to teach. I'm not able to fix anything until I can get on the inside of a person. So majority of things that's happening in a person's life is happening on the inside, and what we see is what is the outward, you know, thing that they're doing. So that's what I did at Duke. I was a coach, sports performance coach at Duke, and sports performance coach at the University of Chapel Hill, performance coach at North Carolina Central University, and a couple other schools that, you know, utilize my services. But, you know, that's what I do. You know, I'm the mind guy. You know, if I can get on the inside, I can, you know, I try to work on my own head most of all.
Well, that, you know, I find that really interesting, because a lot of martial artists, they think it's just about fighting, but that's not true. And, you know, I really appreciate your motivational attitude, what you do, and what you've done for the book, and what you're doing for all of us, and what you've done for the radio show. I want to say thank you so much, Archie Bowen. Thank you.
Well, sir, you know, I really truly thank you, and I truly believe that, you know, even this show right this moment has a higher purpose. And, you know, like I said, back 7 years ago, we didn't know each other. You picked up the telephone and just said hello, and here we are 7 years later, and, you know, and it's hard to believe our story.
Yeah, sir. Now, Robbie Lee is supposed to be calling in.
I'm watching for him.
Okay, sir.
Okay, that might have been him just saying.
Dean Piles. Dean, are you there? Dean?
Yeah, I'm here. Nasty Dan Anderson sent me.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of my co-hosts, Mr. Dean Piles. We call him the Wolverine or the Sheepdog. Hey, Dean, how you doing?
I'm doing good, sir. I'm looking at some Special Forces operators as we speak right now, still getting their training in.
Well, I'm excited. I've got some special guests on tonight. Now,
I know
AJ,
one guy you
there?
Got on here that I'm excited about, my brother. Man, I won't mention his name. I'll let you do it since you're the host.
Okay.
You know, but.
AJ Perry.
Hey, Gary, how are you?
I'm excited, man. I got two of my favorite people on the show tonight, and I'm going to introduce them right now. The first young man, and I say young man, He moved away, but he was a top competitor, and he performed in all the shows I used to do down at Six Flags and at the Astrodome, and he's a deputy sheriff now. Dave Henson. Dave, are you there?
Good evening, sir. How you doing? I am here and happy to be here. Thank you.
Well, I'm introducing you because, you know, you're a good member. You're going to be coming to Houston in about a month and performing for Al Garza and doing it at the show. That's pretty exciting. And also, you're making 50 rebuttal. Is that correct?
That is correct. I'm going to, as long as Grandmaster Powell doesn't kill me, I'll be all right.
I'm not going to kill anybody. Well, are you doing the seminar, sir?
I'm doing. Not sure if I'm going to be able to do the seminar. I think I'm going to be there. I got a lot of stuff going on that weekend, but I should be there.
I will make you come to that. Because I know you're a sheriff in Florida, so I'm in Florida. I train the special forces here, so I was hoping if you could get to be there and on the tactical combative seminar. All we're teaching is, to control an angry combatant. That's what we're doing.
Okay. Sounds like a plan then.
Well, yeah, he's got a lot of stuff, Dean. I gotta make him wear a really pretty red satin uniform and make him do a dance to enter the dragon. I've got him up doing a lot.
I can't wait to see it.
A lot of stuff too, man. I've got you.
Can't say I've ever done that.
Well, let's see. Step on, Professor. All I'm doing is the haka. I'm doing the autograph signing, and then me and AJ both is doing that. So my cast, and we're doing the movie audition. Then we're doing the seminar. Then I'm doing the mental lake exam. Then I'm doing the kata to demonstrate what kata wars is supposed to be about. Then
listen,
Saturday night,
Dave,
I'm doing a performance.
Dave, seven or eight things. Dave.
Yeah.
You talk about movies, I got a pretty boy for you. One of our best friends and the special guest tonight. Dave, don't go nowhere because I'm going to bring you on too in just a minute.
Yes, sir.
My buddy, Fast Feet, Jerry Fontenot. Hey, Jerry, are you there?
Absolutely am.
What do you think about all these crazy people, man? I got a redneck.
I love the energy. I love the energy. That's
north.
What it takes, right? The law of attraction.
Hey, a crazy New York boy. How you doing, Fast Feet?
Super good and getting better. No question
Dave
about
Hinson,
that.
Dave Hinson, you ever met Fast Feet before?
Absolutely. I've been on the other end of his foot a few times. Not, I don't know if he remembers me, but I've been on the other end of that foot.
Really?
Yes.
How about you, Dean? Do you ever fought Fast Feet, or are you just friends with him? I guess
we never danced.
You never danced?
Who are you talking to? Was you talking to me, Professor?
No, I don't.
Me and James just team up on people. He's heavyweight, and I'm right under him.
Okay. Now, Fast Feet, who did you make black belt under? Who did you train under in New York?
Well, my instructor was Supreme Grandmaster Sang Soo Tiger Kim. So that's a gentleman that a lot of people don't realize. He was the one that was actually teaching in the late 60s, early 70s, even guys like Joe Hayes, Jumping Joe Hayes, who came through Richard Chung. But, yeah, Motor Kwan, Tang Su, that's my original style.
Tiger Kim
was phenomenal. You were
Jerry,
the bra.
Jerry, you're interrupting me. Tiger Kim was a phenomenal martial artist. You know, I first met him at Taekwondo Regionals in Florida at Grandmaster Byung Ho Chase Tournament. And he did a demonstration, and he was probably 53, 54 years old at the time. And he was just a phenomenal martial artist.
Hey, guys, that's the pedigree and the reputation we have to keep. So I keep in contact still with the Tiger Kim twins, and I trained with his younger brother of Grandmaster Byungmin Kim just last year. So I still keep my ties with them. But in addition to that, of course, he was the person who I believe, when I've interviewed people on my show and I asked them who had a better body, and I would ask if it was Bruce Lee, if it was Jackie Lane or Tiger Kim, and most people say my instructor did, and I believe that's the case.
Oh, he was tough. He was a tough man.
And not too many people could fly like that guy either. But besides him, rest in peace to the best of all time, Joe Lewis, because I assisted him three times in a year and a half. And so my fake reposition and angles, I got to give credit where it's due. He's the one that taught me that as I was being his assistant. And my biggest compliment I ever got to martial arts was from him when he said to me, slow down. You're making me look bad. I knew I had it. That was back in 1986. Then in addition to that, I was taught how to blitz by Billy Blanks, taught how to do the dive bomb by Nasty Anderson, rest in peace. And I'm a product of all those giants that I stand on the shoulders on.
Okay, listen. Who gave you the name Fast Feet? Who gave you that nickname?
That was my mother, September 21, 1981. I came back from an event where Superfoot Bill Wallace was at, and I asked him for an autograph, only person I ever asked. When I got home, I said, Mom, I need a nickname. Because at the time, my favorite basketball player was Dr. J, of course. And she said to me, Fearless Fast Feet. I said, Mom, last name is Fontenelle, too many F's. They're going to make fun of me, because I would. So I said, how about this? We use first name Fast, last name Feet, and I promise you I'll always be fearless. And that was it. So Mama gets credit for that.
Well, I'm going to ask you, how much fun did we have back with Eric Schumann and the NBO back in the days?
Well,
that was fun, wasn't it?
it was pretty. I mean, listen, the bottom line is that we know we're blessed to be alive, and I really am grateful, and I would have been. So when I went to martial arts tournaments, I always had a great time. But when I interconnected with other people similar to mine, like yourself and a few other people, a handful of people, well, we just rocked the house and had some fun. And some people couldn't understand it, but to me, I couldn't understand why weren't they happy. I got a chance to get away from the Bronx and be with my friends and family worldwide.
Let me ask you a question, Fastly, because you fought everywhere and everybody. What was your big difference between the NASCAR and the NBL leagues?
It's interesting because for whatever it's worth, and I said that in the beginning days, boys like those used to stay over my house when he was in New York, and I gave him a whole bunch of ideas. And one of the ideas that I gave him was that Karate Illustrated still had the groin kicks in those regions. I told him how Texas, Chicago, and California did not participate in what would have been NASCAR, but they did because they had their own local circuit, but they did when it was Karate Illustrated. So to me, for a short time, the NBL was what Karate Illustrated tournaments were. So if you were in Texas, you had groin kicks. And I told them every other year, just like in baseball at the time, you should have groin kicks 1 year and no groin kicks the next year. So to me, that was the difference. Taekwondo is what NASCAR is. When a two-point kick is a kick, I should say a kick is 2 points, that doesn't make it karate no more. That just makes it Taekwondo. So, and when you take away the sweeps and the down fighting, that's not what we grew up with. We didn't do that, as I call it, in the sniper fighting days when we were sharp, precise, and on point. Didn't matter what style you was. When today, everyone is about the same. They're just trying to score a two-point kick and a slap to the shoulder, so it's a different game. I call that sport karate, but in sniper fighting, as they call it, sharpshooters, we didn't do that. Guys used to be taken out with one sweep and one stop. That might have been the end of the match there, and then they lost because they couldn't continue to fight.
That's a good point now. Dave Henson, are you there, buddy? Dave?
Yes, sir.
And
yes, sir.
Grandmaster Robbie Lee's on.
You were – okay, good, Robbie. Hey, Robbie.
How you doing, sir?
I'll bring you on in just a minute. Well, Dave, I want to go
Professor,
back to the
I don't mean to interrupt you, but this is Wolverine. If you need me, holler Wolverine. I'll hear that quicker because I'm on the mat. Okay, please?
Okay, I'll holler at you in a minute, Wolverine. Anyway, Dave Henson, I want to ask you, you're a Texas fighter. Now, Fast Speak was talking about precision fighting. Did you have that you feel in Texas, or was it?
Yeah. You know, I came in. With all these legends you got coming up on this show, you know, I came in on the circuit late in my career, you know, I started the martial arts in 83, so I'm a little younger than most of you guys, but I noticed whenever I went from Texas fighting onto the national circuit, hit the NASCAR, I realized that I not only spoke with a Texas draw, I fought with a Texas draw. Everybody was faster, but when I hit you, you felt it.
Well, Fastbeat had a Brooklyn draw. Now, Fastbeat, I want to ask you, buddy, who was your toughest fighter of all your fights?
the toughest fighter I ever fought was Billy Blanks, and he's probably the most underrated guy. So a lot of people have selective memories, but Billy, I mean, for what it was worth, you know, Arnold Zip White, he cracked his face. You know, he broke my jaw. The guy was going through people like a hot butter through knife. Yes, mm-hmm. Callum got him because, of course, the kid was another type of animal, but Billy Banks was the first person because he looked the part. The man would pick up his arm like a bodybuilder. It was incredible. Plus, he had an agility to scissor, take down you, cartwheel you, hit you. If you threw a kick on him too slow, he would grab your supportive leg, lift you upside down, and punch you in the rib. I never seen anybody do something like that.
You know, the thing about Billy Blanks, what you were saying, for a big guy, he was pretty good size. He could close a gap like lightning. It was incredible.
Again, most people do not mention him, but Billy Blanks to me was a superhero.
Fasty, yes, sir. Have you ever done, Fasty, I'm going to ask you, have you ever done any bodyguard work?
I never did technically bodyguard work except for The Last Dragon when he was in Canada time up, because I was just, honestly, my vocation became martial arts. So by the time I was 1988, I already had 200 students, and I ended up having multiple schools. And, of course, I went to the clothing line. So I took martial arts from a different angle.
I've got a little treat for you, buddy. I've got a guy on here that does bodyguard work. And, hey, Robbie Lee, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, AJ, I know you work with military and you understand the presidential.
How are you doing, Robbie?
So does Wolverine. We've got some questions to ask you, Bob, Robbie. Go ahead, AJ. You got a question to ask Robbie?
Robbie, how you doing?
I'm doing really good. Long time no see.
Good.
It's a pleasure to hear from you.
I was pretty impressed when I heard you did some bodyguard work and you did some presidential detail stuff.
Yes, I have.
Yeah. What organization were you with?
You mean Navy, or what are you talking about?
Yeah, with you were on presidential detail.
Well, see, what happened way back, I was in the Navy for a while, and they saw a lot of my performance, like Paul Escobar. I got him in custody, snatched him. The president of the Philippines, they saw my record, picked him, snatched him, and his wife from Hawaii. From there, Paul, Panama plates for the currency. We went there as a team, set the plates, and got our currency money and brought it back to the States.
That's interesting. Hold on a minute. Wolverine!
Yeah. Yeah, I'm right here. Wolverine's right here. I'm ready. Hey, yeah,
okay.
So you did my dog work.
Hey, Rob.
Yes.
What kind of unit were you with?
Well, I'm still classified because I'm still working as a civil servant with the government today.
Hang on.
And the program, as you referred to, I'm not sure how to say it, because I did a lot of programs in the past. I've dealt with Bill Clinton, also doing with Hillary. Brock.
Were you in a Marine outfit?
I think I know where you're going, AJ, and I got the question, so I think it'll make it clear. So to protect like the president or Bill Clinton or Hillary Clinton, first of all you go to Secret Service. Now the Secret Service guys, because I work with the guys that's going to be there every day, are put up for selection. So if you were in the Navy, what selection was you put up to? Because you would have to be put up for selection for the Navy SEALs to be on one of the teams that would be dealing with anybody as far as in the White House, except for the fact that the Navy don't really do that. That would be people that are going up for Green Beret or Ranger in selection. And what happens is the ones that go up for selection that we cut from selection that don't make it to one of the teams, we can sign for them to go in and do a they can go into Secret Service, so they can have a job. They can either go back to regular military life and complete their, you know, complete their contract with Uncle Sam, or they can opt to go into the Secret Service, unless, you know, they've been doing a lot of stuff and that maybe the FBI or the CIA, one might want to make them, or the U.S. Marshals might want to make them a ranger. So what are they making them marshals?
Let me make it really simple. Let me make it really simple.
What's your question?
Yeah, so my question is, which one of those, well, I mean, if you're in the Navy, what will you, what would you get put up to the selection to be working with it?
Okay, hold on. I never claim I work for the Secret Service as an agent. I never said that. That's why I'm trying to explain myself. I got discharged. I went out. That time was Hart. You remember Senator Gary Hart in Arizona back then? And I was doing volunteer work with Senator Hart in California in Santa Barbara. I did the volunteer work. I didn't do it for pay. I was doing it for school.
Doing Hillary Clinton, Rob.
Yes.
You mentioned Clinton.
Yeah. What I did is I did it as a volunteer. I didn't do it for pay at that time. And what I did.
Okay, so you volunteered to guard Hillary and Bill.
Well, they asked me to, because we did the campaign. From there, I ended up working for him.
Oh, from Arkansas.
You understand? Yes.
Yeah, I understand. So you were in Arkansas, and they asked you to.
Well,
our question is, how did you get involved working with Bill and Hillary in Arkansas from California?
Because if you understand California and Santa Barbara, we did a lot of work there, and I did a lot of, and that's how I got into entertainment, but it's a separate issue. I ran into Ronald Reagan back in the days with San Onet at that time. And from there, my name got dropped, and we did a lot of fundraising in San Diego and San Francisco, and he visited at Silicon Valley in San Jose and Sunnyvale back in the, before he became president, and he was running for president. He snatched me from there because I was doing a program here. It's called BCN, Digital Health Network Company.
Rob, yes. How old are you?
Yes. I'm 61, be 62. I just
52.
Told you.
Hey, AJ?
No, 62.
AJ, brother, this might be, guess what? When I was in the fourth grade, I wrote a letter about the Cold War to President Reagan, and he responded. I got to read it in front of the whole school. Y'all proud of me?
Cool.
I actually could write a letter. I mean, y'all, that's what
I'm
getting at.
You know what? Hey, let me say something to you, AJ and Dean Piles and Robbie Lee. All this bodyguard stuff is interesting, and I appreciate it so much. And Dave Henson, let me tell you something. Isn't it good just to be a karate puncher and kicker and fast feet? Isn't it crazy, all these people on the air? I love it. Hey, Fassie, let me ask you one more question, buddy, before we go to a little commercial. Now, your toughest fighter was Billy Blanks. Who was the fighter that you admired the most out of all the guys?
Well, the best pound-for-pound fighter that I had the opportunity to witness from New York City. So New York City's greatest pound-for-pound fighter to me, rest in peace, was Shihan William Oliver. Oliver fought against the great Keith Vitale, and Vitale swept him. As Oliver was literally horizontal, he punched Vitale's face.
Do you remember? You don't remember when I was in New York with Tadashi Nakamura?
Well, Gary, let him finish. Gary, let him finish.
Yes. He was the most impressive because I've seen him take guys that were, not mentioning any names, really, really big, not only do shuffle axe kick, sweep them, and then axe kick them again in one combination. This man was built to fight. He was about 5'6", mostly legs. He was the closest thing to what people would see when Mike Wallen used to fight. You know, kick with either legs, either hand. Plus, he fought in Japan, Kyokushinkai. and did a documentary fighting Black King. So that was the most impressive because he did not look like the superhero that Billy Blanks was.
Do you remember Errol Bennett? Errol
Bennett, Abdul-Mateeka Bell, and Sheldon Wilkins. Those are the three guys that went and represented for what would have been New York at the time. So we're already
now,
late 70s, early 80s.
AJ, was any Texas old guys in New York?
Did I know? Well, Let me finish, Gary. You had Dominic Giacobbe. You had John Kritsos. You had, great forms guy from Kiwan Kim School.
Mike Warren, Mitchell Barbaro.
Oh, right, he came
from
there.
Mitchell Barbaro, yeah. He was known as Wonder Boy.
Yeah, Wonder Boy. Right. He won grand champion at All Americans. Those people that you just mentioned, they competed in the All Americans. That's when we chose.
Remember, he invented the Atomic Shoe and everything.
Yes, and just so you guys know, Billy Blanks and I are going to do a rematch this year.
Oh,
wow!
Billy Blanks and I are going to do a rematch in the inspiration of what Mike Tyson did with Roy Jones. He on my show, second episode, he actually confirmed it. And that idea, I tossed that idea with Mike Stone himself, and he thought that was a great idea. And then I tossed it with Scott Coker. He thought that was a great idea, and Billy Blanks confirmed it. So it's a matter of time to motivate other people not to make excuses.
Bassie, you ever walked on glass?
Yes, sir.
Or Crazy AJ walks on glass. It's 6 nails in his arms.
And then Redbird did a kata on AJ's broken glass right after AJ walked on it. Cause
that's crazy, man.
Can't stand for me to have any downtime.
What's the craziest thing you ever done, Fast Feet? The craziest thing you ever done, now think back, because I know you've done some crazy shit.
I'm trying to get the video for it. In 1992, it's not martial arts, but it was with a martial artist also. I was at Tony Robbins Mastery Seminar, and I won Mr. Mastery, but all I had on was my bikini underwear on. So I want to get that video. So that was the craziest thing I did.
Say la, 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 la. Too much information.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I'm trying to get that video so like that they don't have it.
That's funny.
Oh.
Well, Fast Feet, don't go nowhere, okay? Please. I'm going to bring you back.
I'm here.
We're going to play the Legend name game where I'll say a name to you. And you got to talk about them. Do you like them, love them, or whatever?
You
back in
a few, you got it.
Okay. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm with my old buddy, Fast Feet, Gary Flavinez, and with Dave Hinson from FAR, and Robbie Moody, the person who is a bodyguard out of Hollywood. And we're doing an interview with some three incredible people, Emma Cohn, Dee Piles, Wolverine, and AJ Perry. But I'm going to be with somebody now that's a really big part of my life. But together, we're creating the history of the world. This is where we're going to teach people the history of people like Stone, Alan Speed.
Professor, you're really breaking up.
Oh, am I? I don't mean to be. But anyway, he's been with me for many months talking about the Hollywood. Right here. Are you there, Dr. Lee?
Yes, Professor. How are you doing? Can you hear me okay? I'm losing.
I can hear you good, but I can't hear Professor hardly at all. But we can hear you.
Yeah, Professor
good.
Lee can't hear him. Yeah.
You can't hear me.
Breaking up there.
Professor, you're breaking up, but Dr. Lee is good. Everybody else seems to be good.
I'm My the cat. Can you hear me now?
No, still broken up pretty good. Still broken up pretty though.
Yeah, because I can hear Mr. Henderson good.
Will
you work on that, Professor? Mr. Lee, you go ahead and tell us about the Set VR.
Yeah, let me tell you about your Set VR. Our team has been quite busy in making the Set VR application more exciting and engaging. We are also excited about the pending history portal demo that's coming up, slated to be reviewed at the end of this month, and we're putting out that shortly. And we just recently brought Set VR application onto the Oculus Quest App Lab Store platform, so we're super excited about that. My partner, my marketing director, and my developers are excited about Set VR, which is self-defense enhancement training in virtual reality as a platform whereby one can practice their skills in self-defense whenever, wherever they want. The program is compact and portable. You can take it anywhere you practice and travel, and even during a pandemic, as we have in the COVID pandemic, you can continue to practice your skills in self-defense while practicing social distancing. With the Oculus Rift or Oculus Quest headset, you'll be transported to a virtual reality platform whereby a hologram attacker will confront and attack you when you least expect it with random attacks. The goal of Set VR is to have you to be able to neutralize an attack or a threat that is sudden, unpredictable, and random. You'll be able to improve your skills in evasion through angular, linear, and circular movements to avoid and to place you in an opportunistic position of an advantage for neutralization as you practice to improve your skills in timing, speed, and accuracy as you develop muscle memory. And my goal is to develop a reflex response to a threat or a stimulus to neutralize an attack without hesitation, just as you would place your hand on a hot stove, or if you go to a doctor's office and tap on your knee, you create a reflex response. This platform is a program whereby you can practice and you utilize what you've been taught in techniques, katas, and forms in your schools, and to apply your this application against random attacks. We've also provided programs in the future for multiple attackers, home invasions, in a barroom setting, and also in a war zone. Set VR will push you maximally to live in self-defense. We've updated our programs with kicking, punching combination, also with knife attacks. Knife attacks up close in front are very, very dangerous in regards to defending against. We've placed that program into our program in regards to knife attacks. We've planned to have future updates with random virtual matches. Say Professor Gary Lee can have a confrontation with either the Wolverine or AJ, and you'll be able to practice your techniques in regards to applying your application for neutralization. We've implemented a program with metrics whereby they will record the number of successful punches, number of blocks, number of evasions, and to determine whether you're right or left side dominant, and record the endurance and time spent in the experience. You'll be able to create a diversion by grasping the attacker's or hologram arms or wrists to create a 1 to 3 second pause, a natural response, a window of opportunity for you to practice your application for neutralization. We've implemented a program of mindfulness, of stretching, meditation, and also to provide you with your own personal yoga instructor. Our website, please continue to visit our website at setvr.app. We'll continue to update Set VR in the future to help you practice to maximize the application of self-defense when you want and where you want. We continue to be proud to endorse Professor Gary Lee and the Sports Karate Museum to be the future platform of his vision of the history portal. Now, I'm not sure if Professor Gary Lee is still there to can hear me right now, but
yeah.
if you can speak to the audience about the history portal.
Can you hear
me? Yeah, you sound good, especially.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dr. Lee, you know, when you mentioned about a competition between Dean Pyles and AJ Perry, that'd be like Godzilla versus Kong. You know that?
Absolutely.
I got a chance, opportunity to use the Set VR, and it absolutely makes you react because the hologram in there is so vivid. it actually makes you react. You can't help but reacting. And I watched the kids doing it. And the kids absolutely.
We'll work him again tomorrow. I think we got them.
Well, you know,
my apologies. I knocked that off. I'm training, sorry.
It's mainly enhanced you as you perfect your technique, but we want to teach the history of what Mark Stone, Mr. Burleson, Allison did to enhance teaching, you know, karate in America, and that's what we've done with these history journal portals to enhance it together. And I want to thank you, Reggie, for letting us allow us to be a part of that. And for people who are interested, you can go to SETVR.app, and it'll be a demo there that explains you what we're doing. Now, we do a segment and every weekend or every week, and we bring on the alter ego of Dean Pyle, better known as the Wolverine, and we call it 3 Minutes with the Wolverine. Now, tonight's topic is coming back to competition. Now, Wolverine, are you there?
Hoorah!
There you go.
That's a yes. Wolverine. That's how we say yes. That's how we say yes.
Okay, let's talk about your topic tonight. Coming back to competition. How do you feel about that?
I think it's an awesome idea. Listen, I'm not knocking the COVID virus because I know that it's a, you know, it's a virus and it's bad. But it also has a 99% cure rate, 99.8%, matter of fact. And let's be honest, right now there's no cases of the flu because everything got classified as COVID. So COVID killed the common cold and the flu because nobody's had a cold or the flu since COVID come out. So I'm really glad to see these in-person competitions. And I'm going to tell you why. Because when you're training and you have a goal, to go to compete, you're working hard. Now, what does COVID attack? Your lung and your cardiovascular system. So if you're training, what muscles and what areas of your body are you strengthening? Your cardiovascular system. So what you're doing, even by training and getting ready and preparing for a competition, is not only are you prepared to fight your opponent and a would-be attacker, but you're also preparing to fight all colds and viruses because you're taking the proper nutrition, you're training hard, your cardiovascular system strong, so if you do get a cold, you come back quick. When you're sitting around and you're not able to train and you're not able to, you know, interact, people get lazy, their training falters, and then they get sick, then, you know, they don't have the lung capacity and the strength to fight it off. So I'm glad to see in-person competition coming back. I just feel like that's a lot better than, you know, not taking anything away from virtual, but I think it's a lot better being in person, you know.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. And are you coming back to competition besides, you know, your appearance in Cotter Wars, which is not really competing, you're just going to appear. But you're doing something special in Houston, a demonstration. Talk about that a little bit. What are you going to be doing there?
Well, in Cotter Wars, I'm going to be demonstrating what the judges are looking for. I'm also going to be helping the judges understand the scoring and how to score Cotter Wars. If you remember the first time that we did Cotter Wars, I had to help the judges with the scoring and tried to guide the judges through the scoring the first time. Then I just started competing in Cotter Wars, and some of the judges got off on what they were supposed to be doing. So, one, I'll be doing a kata to demonstrate what the judges are looking for in Cotter War and the type of katas that you know, that you are looking for to represent in Cotter Wars. And I'll be dedicating my kata to, you know, Grandmaster Virgil Kimmy and to
Mr. Harrison, Jim Harrison, that have both passed away. The Carter that I do, you really love it because it's the same one that Billy Earwood used to dominate the circuit for years and win several world titles. And our sensei Earwood passed that Carter down to me, and then I did the same thing with it in Nashville for the last several years.
Now, what are you doing? You're doing something special Saturday night. A demo against a gun, a knife, a baseball bat.
Well, hey, Gary.
Talk about that
Gary.
A little bit. Yeah.
Gary.
Yeah,
the rumors going around is he was going to eat a refrigerator.
He's going to what?
He's going to eat a refrigerator.
Oh.
I'm going to put somebody in a refrigerator. What I'm going to do is restore the honor to the United States Marine Corps. Somebody went to piping off at the mouth. In the recon code, it says, hey, wait a second. In the recon code, it says, I will forever strive to maintain the tremendous reputation of those who went before me. Not only that, that means the ones that went and died and can't be here to defend themselves. So when somebody talks smack about the Corps, my Corps, your Corps, the Marine Corps, then somebody's going to step up and make that right. And when they talk about my instructor, Grandmaster Joe Lewis, that passed away, they don't call me Wolverine because I sat down like a kitten. They call me Wolverine because I'm explosive and I get, you know, agitated maybe real easy. And when you start talking about my instructor and saying that he can't fight and you didn't put no gloves on and fight him, well, I'm not going to say what you're talking out of, but I think people know what they're talking out of. Because I'm going to tell you right now, Grandmaster
okay,
Lewis is here today. He would step up this competition himself and knock somebody
calm
out.
Calm down. Wolverine, calm down. We'll see you May 7th and May the 8th. And
Honey
you
Badger
can text us at Al Garza's Celebrity Roast. And A.J. Perry's going to be there, too. That's going to be fun. Now, you're also going to be doing an audition at 5 o'clock for The Coward, the movie. And there's going to be some fight scenes. So that's going to be pretty cool.
So let me explain what we're doing. So we have a couple places for some young females that play the best friends of Mark Stone's daughters. Well, we'll be looking to replace them. I do have some other people that's put in auditions from Alabama. She's actually Miss Alabama, but she's a teen, Miss Teen Alabama and Miss Alabama, and they're actually sisters. So we're looking for them, and we're also looking for fighters for the final fight scene in the bar. And, you know, so anybody that wants to do a 90-second choreographed fight can come in, and it'll be in front of myself, Mr. Bruce House, Billy Noman, Audrey Warwick, Kira Barlow, Holly Piles, and A.J. Perry. We will be sitting on board. It will also be filmed by Wyatt Castro. We'll do a read if you're wanting a, you know, one of those parts. And then if you're wanting to be one of the stunt fighters, you can come in, do a 90-second choreographed fight, which means just start your choreographed fight out with a little dialogue, just in case you have a little dialogue, and then do the fight scene. You may also be asked to demonstrate certain stunts that would be required for some of the parts in the bar scene fight that you would need to do, and we just need to make sure that you could do some of those things, so you need to do that. Now, these are casted extras. So,
thank you, Wolverine. Thank you so much for your time and your effort and what you're going to do, and we're looking forward to it.
I ain't going nowhere. I got more questions.
You got another question for who?
No, well, I mean, you said we were talking to Mr. Lee, and I mean, Mr. Henderson, I know he's a deputy sheriff. I don't have no questions. He might arrest me or something.
Okay, I tell you what. Before I bring on Fast Beat back, because I will play the Legend in game with him, let's get one more question for Robbie Lee. Robbie Lee?
He's not here. He's gone.
Oh, Robbie hung up? Okay. Well,
Professor Lee, Gary Lee, in regards to Set New York, what we're doing, I just want to make a real comment about what we're doing. In regards to our program, if you go to the app lab, you can update your quests your Oculus Quest with the latest version or SetVR app lab, SetVR app on the program. So if we're excited about that. You just get on the Oculus Quest and go into App Lab, and you can update your version of our app.
Okay, that's interesting. Well, thank you, Dr. Lee, and thank you for
and
the
Professor,
update.
And, Professor, since the other guest hung up, that answered my question anyway. So we can listen to Mr. Henderson and Mr. Fontenaz, because they're two interesting guys, and I like to hear what they got to say. You know, me and Jerry, we used to get to talk all the time, and since this COVID stuff, we hadn't. So, you know, I like hearing what him and Mr.
Well,
Henderson has to say, and look forward to seeing.
What kind of question did you have for Robbie Lee? What kind of question did you have for him?
Well, I was just going to ask because, you know, I do a lot of work in Hollywood. You know, I did the Warrior movie with Nick Nolte and Tom Hardy, Joel Edgerton. And while I was doing that movie, Mark Wahlberg's people called me to work on the movie The Fighter, where he was doing the boxing. The only problem was when I showed up, I was way too big because Mark, he's a great actor and you know he's good shape, but he's a lot smaller than me, so it didn't work out for the fight scenes because I would be a larger, you know, competitor, and it was supposed to be boxing people the same size.
You mean gorilla?
But I was just going to ask you because I know he's supposedly doing something with the movie that you know Mr. Lundgren did with the Billy Jack, and you know one of my questions was that's a great cult classic. Where was he going to take it to that next level in keeping with the tradition that he started? And I was also going to ask him, you know, how did he wrangle this deal from Mark Wahlberg, because Mark Wahlberg owns the right to the Billy Jack movie, and I've talked to him about doing the Billy Jack movie, so I was just going to ask.
The words right out of my mouth, because I know he got the rights for that movie.
And you know, I'm not saying that, you know, Mark Stone might, you know, be seen as that with Mark Wahlberg, but I'm saying that we've talked to Mark Wahlberg, and I just wondered how.
Well, you know what? You know what, Dean? Listen, Dean. AJ, Dean, you guys have to ask him personally because he's going to be in Houston.
Well, I'm all
okay
about face-to-face talks. I like that way better.
Well, you'll get to ask him, AJ. You'll get to ask him, Dean, face-to-face because he'll be in Houston. He bought dinner tickets, so he's going to be there. So that's going to be fun. So, listen, don't go nowhere. Hey, Fast Feet, Gary.
Yes, sir.
What do you think about us Yankee and a crazy Floridian?
Hey, wait, you forgot something, Gary.
And
Dallas.
Now,
well, I said congratulations. That's phenomenal. I love it. I mean, you got one life to live. You have to make an impact, right? Yeah. I love. Listen, we're blessed to be alive. We've got to take full advantage of the opportunity.
Fast Feet, have you ever done any movies?
No, I actually have. I stood away from I was on the set of The Last Dragon in 1984. I didn't like the industry at the time, for whatever it was worth. I didn't like the way. It's going to sound crazy, but the industry was ran by homosexual men that were hitting on young kids. I was a young kid. I didn't like the idea. I didn't like it. Now, mind you,
that's not
what happened with everybody, but.
That's exactly why we started our own thing. And we'll talk to you about the part two coming up, because AJ is also in part two, because we get off the chain in the next one. So we'll talk to you, Jerry. But you're absolutely right about that other stuff you said. Not everyone, but a lot of them. Yeah.
Right, that was back to 1984, so I focused on martial arts. But the bottom line is this, I will be working in whatever is possible now, because I'm not a kid no more.
Jerry, okay, you ready, Jerry? I'll meet you with a name. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, Joe Corley.
Hey, most people don't realize Joe Corley, 1967, was already the top 10 rated competitor. He was the first person to have a tournament to give away $1,000 with one of the top fighters at the time. It wasn't called the Battle of Atlanta, but it was after. That was 1971. By 1975, he was the person who had fought against Bill Wallace,
was his first title defense. Now, he did work in 1974 at the PK first event, but that was when he had his back injury. So he had spinal fusion, and his events were the biggest events in throughout the 1970s and 80s, and he eventually sold the event. But Corley's one of my favorite people because he's a Renaissance man. He also had a franchise, and I'll stop with that.
Okay. How about Aaron Banks?
Great Grandmaster Aaron Banks, bar none, is to me the greatest martial arts promoter of all time. The reason I say that is because he was able to get the general public to put their butts in seats. 19,000, almost 800 people, 1974 at Madison Square Garden. In addition to that, if anybody ever had a conversation with him, you realize he was one of the most polite and energetic and literally a gentleman. Miles, they may think that he was what you would consider P.T. Barnum in his flesh again, but the truth of the matter is that Banks was a real people person, and I'm sure if you had a chance to talk to him, you guys would have loved him.
Yeah, I got to tell you my favorite story, Eric Bassi. You're going to love it. It's 1990, and I'm doing an autograph session with Golly Bubba, Kalima Ajuan, and Nolan Ryan. I'm sitting right between these guys, right? And I get a phone call. It's Aaron Banks. And he wants to talk to this hotshot promoter who's doing karate shows at the Astrodome. And we start talking, and we talk. And we have a really good time talking about everybody. And about an hour into it, he goes, "You know what, Gary, I like you. I'm going to go to charge you $500. I said, "What?" He says, "Normally I charge $1,000 for all the conversations, but I like you." And he said he only charged me $500. Of course, he never charged me, but I thought that was funny as hell. I mean, he was a funny guy. I like Aaron Banks.
Yeah, Banks started martial arts in 1958 with John Slocum. He's the one that brought Gogen Yamaguchi to the United States of America. He threw the world championship at the Waldorf Astoria, where, of course, you guys know Mr. Norris, Mr. Lewis, Mr. Stone, and rest in peace also to Skipper Mullins. They all won championships that year, 1968. So, yeah, Banks was special. He also did my public relations, and he's the one that trained me for media.
Did you know that Gogen Yamaguchi was good friends with Grandmaster Wong Ki? They were very good friends.
Oh, yeah, of course.
1970 World Championships. Yeah. Grandmaster C.S. Kim, I believe, presented Grandmaster Wong Ki's book to him at the World Championships. They were good friends.
Phenomenal. Well, when we first trained in martial arts, they called it Korean karate, right? Because we knew that the influence of Shotokan was big, whether it was Tang Solo or Murakon.
Right.
So what?
You had a phenomenal instructor.
What basic style did you do?
What was the style that? We were training in Tang Solo. Tiger King was Tang Solo and Murakon. He also taught Hapkido, whether it's Kang, which you call the self-defense, but. What I was able to do was I took a combination of stuff that works from a variety of styles because my whole thing was competition. Growing up in the Bronx during the crack era, I wanted to be away as often as possible to earn income in martial arts tournaments because I was a father, age 17. So as other people were trying to see how they were doing in tournaments, I needed the money. I had to buy diapers, food. So between that and seminars, instead of sticking people up in the streets, I stuck them up in the tournaments legally by beating them. That's how I made my money. So it came from a combination of stuff that worked.
Fast speed, before we go, let me ask you, how important is the history of what, like I've done with the museum, how important is it that the history is taught to the younger generations? Because I know you got a show and you interview a lot of people and you talk to a lot of people. But I want to ask you, Fast speed, so tell my listeners, we got about 15,000 people. But tell them, how important is the history, Patsy?
Well, there's nothing more important because there's a timeline, right? How do you get to the present of the future? You have to go into the time. So when I personally or anybody who is my peers – are really representing martial arts. All we're really doing is standing on the shoulders of the giants. So how can you get to here without having so-called there? Now, the sad thing about it is that for many, many years and many circles to this very day, people don't know who the grandfather, the great-grandfather of their family is in terms of martial arts. And because of what you have been doing for the last decade plus, it literally connects generation and bridges generation gaps. And you're absolutely right. You know, on my show, one of the things I did, I said, hey, let me interview someone who doesn't normally do interviews. I know you guys had him at one point, but Mike Stone himself did a Zoom call. He had never done that before, from the Philippines. And why did I do that? Because he was the first martial arts superstar, at least what I believe. So, yes, paying homage and being knowledgeable to what and how we got here.
Yeah,
mind
he
you, along the road, there's been a whole bunch of, you know, madness,
you know,
but still, super important.
He came all the way from the Philippines to cut the ribbon. Mike Stone's a hell of a guy.
Yeah.
He came all the way from the Philippines to cut the ribbon. So, yeah. That
yeah,
was
special.
Yeah, you did a great interview with Mike. He's a great guy. He is.
Yeah, a lot deeper than most people realize. He got really metaphysical, and that was awesome. I suggest you guys listen to that a few times over. Take some notes, because it wasn't about martial arts, but it was about real deal life and transformation.
Yes, yes. Now, Fasty, before we go, and we got to go, is there anything you want to say to my listeners to help them become a better martial artist? What would you say to somebody?
So one thing that I can tell you, that I'm 55. To me, 5 and 5 is 10. I have the same enthusiasm and passion as a 10-year-old. So if you think about what it is that you wanted to do in terms of your dreams when you were a little kid, you still got time to do that right now. Because for whatever it's worth, I still play karate. I still play samurai. I still play, you know, as if I'm Bruce Lee. So do not take those dreams and goals and kill them, because there was a movie called Citizen Kane. And then in the movie, the gentleman says Rosebud. What was Rosebud? Rosebud was a slave that this guy loved. He was a multimillionaire. The point is that the passion that you had, you might remember it from when you was young. But don't get to your deathbed and never and not have a chance to follow your passion. If martial arts is your passion, I dare you to take it to the highest level possible and pay credit where it's due.
Well, thank you. Great words, Pete.
Those are great words.
AMAA Radio Network and the Pioneers. I want to say thank you to Fasty Fontanez.
You don't see me, but I'm bowing and I'm saluting. Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay.
God bless you.
Yes,
thank you, Jared. Thank you, Mr. Henderson.
Pleasure.
Thank you, guys.
Robbie Lee.
Thank you,
Dr. Lee. Thank you, everybody. And
yeah, Mr. Lee, Mr. Lee.
Every week we say it and we mean it from the heart. Much, much mahalo and aloha. Good night, everybody.